MD, DO, or both? Many of you are grappling with that question, and if a DO is something you want to pursue, our guest today can help you optimize your osteopathic medical school application. Welcome to the 250th episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the host of this podcast and the founder of Accepted. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but accepted at the best program for you. This episode of Admission Straight Talk is brought to you by our brand new guide, the quick guide to acing your ACOMAS application. If you're not sure how to use your activity descriptions to help you stand out, if you're concerned about your ability to tell your story via your personal statement, if you're nervous about what to include in secondaries, download the quick guide to acing your ACOMAS application. It's the guide for you. You can download the free guide, yes, there's no charge for it, at www.accepted.com/ACOMAS. Our guest today, Gina Moses, is the Director of Admissions at New York Institute of Technology's College of Osteopathic Medicine. Prior to taking this position in 2016, she worked for almost 10 years as the Associate Director of Recruitment and Application Services for the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine. Gina also worked in different admissions capacities for Georgetown and for the University of Maryland before starting at AACOM and after earning her master's in higher ed administration from USC. Gina, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you very much, Linda. A pleasure to be with you today.
And I'm delighted to be speaking with you. Can you give us an overview of NYIT's College of Osteopathic Medicine's program with a focus on the more distinctive parts of it, the more distinctive aspects?
Sure. So one of the unique things I would offer about New York Institute of Technology, College of Osteopathic Medicine, is that it has the technology aspect to it. And we're probably one of the only medical schools, in the nation that has that outside of probably MIT. And the nice thing about it is that we are able to blend in a lot of state-of-the-art technology into the curriculum. And with our newest campus down in Jonesboro, Arkansas, at Arkansas State University, we were able to leverage a lot of technology to do synchronizing of lectures between campuses, meetings, even interviews when we first initiated the campus. And that tradition of high-tech technology is infused to this day, and we're celebrating 40 years of as a medical school now in New York. So really excited about, you know, what we have to offer.
Yeah, one of the things I was actually going to ask you was kind of how does an institute of technology get into osteopathic medicine, which focuses on, well, I tell you what, I'm going to wait with that question. Can you discuss the specific focus and strength of osteopathic medicine? And then I'll ask my other question, but go ahead.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, because I have a really great answer for you. It's a fascinating history.
Okay.
The beauty of osteopathic medicine, I'll tell you, is really founded in and grounded in its philosophical approach. I mean, really, that's what's so distinctive about osteopathic medicine from its allopathic or MD colleagues. It's a philosophy that was developed and founded by A.T. Still back in the 1800s. And what he discovered and realized when his young children died, and the physicians of his time couldn't save his young children, including himself, who was trained as a physician, he recognized that there was a disconnect, right, in the training of medicine at that time. And so what he realized was, when he was able to step back, was medicine really needed to be practiced in a more holistic manner, in that structure and function are interrelated. So if you break your arm, your body is going to move in different ways and then put pressure on different points that it wouldn't normally otherwise do. Looking at the body's innate ability to heal itself and the self-healing properties that we all have. So if you cut your finger, it bleeds, it's going to heal. And so when we train osteopathic physicians today in the 21st century, you know, that's what we're doing. We're taking some of that history, we're taking that philosophy from Andrew Taylor Still, and we're infusing it in the curriculum over the first 2 years. So what happens in essence is students in osteopathic medical schools at NYIT, at all of the colleges of osteopathic medicine in the country, they're gaining about 200 hours over the first 2 years in anatomy and physiology in the musculoskeletal system. And that is all coming together throughout not only lecture-based and case-based training, but in the actual hands-on doing. And so that is what's so distinctive and powerful about osteopathic medicine. Let me take it one step further and give you an actual example. So with all of this amazing training that students get at an osteopathic medical school, the beauty of it now in 21st century practice of medicine is that if you had a sinus infection, a DO can palpate your sinuses, your head, your forehead, your neck, your shoulders, your lymph nodes, and really help the body in the healing process, moving the fluids around, enabling the body, right, to be able to breathe better, to make the functionality move better, flow better. So it's a really wonderful way of looking at medicine and then learning about it and then actually applying it and practicing it.
Okay, so let's go to my next question. Palpation or touch or manipulation, massage, whatever you want to call it, it's very low tech. Why would the New York Institute of Technology kind of pursue the less technologically oriented, the more philosophically oriented approach?
That's a really good
question. How does it go together?
Yeah. I see what you're asking. At the end of the day, though, it is an osteopathic medical school. So what it's going to do is it's going to be able to provide the best of the state of art technology. So with our robotics, you know, with robotic patients, so that students can practice on robotics as opposed to a real human being and not do any harm, right? Mm-hmm. So we're able to do that. We're able to look at cadavers online and use that type of technology to really see things that when you have an actual human cadaver in front of you, you may not see all of it because we're all not created, you know, the same internally, right? When we're there and we're, you know, we're being studied from that perspective. So I think it sort of infuses the state of the art, the 21st century. This is how you can do telemedicine, right? And this is how you can provide healthcare in remote locations in the southern part of the country. And, you know, still when you're working with that patient in front of you, do things that are non-invasive, cost effective, working with the body and the body's immunology to help support the self-healing within the body and not have to always go to a prescription or an opiate, because we see what's happened, right, with overprescription. And how can we do things that are less invasive? The general public, you know, if you look at what's happening, I think, across the spectrum in American healthcare today, you know, people are concerned about healthcare, the cost of healthcare, the cost of pharmaceuticals, and the ethics of some of these practices with big pharma. And so I think truly at the end of the day, the beauty of the training of the osteopathic physician in this country, you know, really kind of helps cut through some of that noise and really get to the heart of, you know, whole patient-centered care in a cost-effective, non-invasive manner.
Right. And basically the NYIT's strength in technology is assisting in the training of the osteopathic doctor at NYIT, but still with that distinctive philosophical approach.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, got it. Now, NYIT combines in its first 2 years lectures and clinical experiential learning. Can you go into a little bit more about the balance or the split there, or the synthesis perhaps of those?
Yeah. So what we've been doing this past year, we had a really nice opportunity under our associate dean for curricular affairs to really look at our curriculum and really get it in line with best practice. So what we're doing is we have two tracks at our medical school. We have a lecture-based traditional schedule, but we also have a doctor-patient continuum. And what the doctor-patient continuum, we call it DPC, does is that is a problem-based learning curriculum. And that's a subset of our overall population of student at our school. So you have two different styles of learning. We infuse both of those tracks with actual patients that will come in, that will talk about their stories, that will talk about, you know, healthcare access, lack of access, what's happened, you know, to help our students understand the reality of what they will be eventually dealing with. We have, you know, like I said, the traditional curriculum with all of the sciences, and then the engagement in using and integrating the techniques of osteopathic manipulative treatment, OMT. And so it really all kind of comes together to be a very dynamic, fluid type of curriculum. And it goes for both tracks of students.
Okay. And are there opportunities for students to customize their educational experience at NYIT?
Certainly. If they have an interest and a desire to do a dual degree, we currently can provide them an opportunity to go on and pursue having an MBA. Hmm. They can go on and get a master's in, I want to say, not clinical nutrition, but we have coursework in clinical nutrition, which is a rarity amongst medical schools. But yeah, students can pursue that. There are opportunities to do global health coursework, but also do international missions. So that's something that's nice, that's also a part of the curriculum. And one of the other things that we're looking at is eventually having a DO PhD program. We have an exceptionally rich and diverse research program going on both in New York and at our Jonesboro, Arkansas campus. So there's a lot of opportunities for that. And then ultimately, our goal is to have a DO PhD in a few years.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the two locations in New York and Arkansas. What are the specialties of each location? Is there a specific focus that's associated with each one?
Yeah. So for New York was founded 41 years ago now. And it was founded by the personal physician to the President of the United States, Richard Nixon. And it's really quite a fascinating history. He also took care of Secretary of State Henry Kissinger and Nelson Rockefeller. Wow. So it's an amazing medical school. And we're about 35 minutes outside of New York City on the North Shore of Long Island in Old Westbury. And the campus in New York offers a medical student or a prospective student any type of medical specialty they want to go into. We have, oh gosh, thousands of alumni connected in every imaginable specialty. And that's the beauty of being located in New York, one of the most incredible, you know, locations, sure, in the country. So the alumni base is really robust, and the students really greatly benefit from that. So with that said, Jonesboro, Arkansas was developed about 3 years ago, and the vision for Jonesboro was fascinating equally. The leadership in New York was approached, and we were asked to partner because of our excellence, and they are really wanting to leverage the ability and the strength that New York brings in terms of technology, faculty, programming, and whatnot. Jonesboro is specifically geared for a mission-specific vision of creating better opportunities in healthcare, not only in the state of Arkansas, but in the greater Delta region of the nation. Hmm. So, you know, think about a lot of these areas in the southern region, especially the Delta, that are very underserved, that are rural, that are challenging locations to get to a major metropolitan location for healthcare. And so what we found was a lot of folks can travel up to hours away to see a specialist, to see a primary care doc. And so our goal is to really create opportunities to change healthcare in the state of Arkansas, but also in the greater Delta region. And one of the things that's fascinating about our campus is we spent $13 million to transform this amazing 1930s Art Deco building, and it's now truly state-of-the-art, and it's on the campus at Arkansas State University, which is this huge college town, huge campus, and we're able to leverage all of the facilities, all of the opportunities that come with being on a huge college campus for the medical school and the students down there, and brand new housing. And the focus academically is, you know, again, primary care is its first and foremost. But again, if you want to specialize, there's a great need for it down there. So those would be, I would say, to highlight the differences between the two campuses.
All right. Thank you. Now let's turn a little bit now more to admissions and applying and that kind of stuff. How would you say, and I know you worked in, the National Osteopathic Organization before coming to NYIT, how does a specific philosophy of osteopathic medicine influence admissions decisions?
Well, that's a really good question. I think it's really important that applicants' perspectives, those that are listening in on this, understand that admissions people know that our students have choices. And at the end of the day, it really has to be what's the best fit for the applicant. How do they see themselves within the field of medicine? How do they want to take care of future patients? You know, how would they want to be taken care of, right? And so that is going to be really important to be reflected in the application that they make to a COMAS, which is a central application service, and then to the secondary application that all of the DO schools will ask for, including us at NYITCOM. And to be able to discuss, short and sweet, you know, what is the fit? And how does their background and their experiences align to the philosophy of osteopathic medicine? And so, you know, that's really, I think, at the heart of it, what we're looking for in admissions when it comes to applicants applying to us.
I know many applicants are applying to medical school and they apply to MD and DO programs. They're not necessarily committed to either philosophy, they just want to be practicing clinical physicians. So are you really looking for applicants who have a certain allegiance or identification with the DO philosophy in general terms?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. You know, that's really going to be something that's critical to this whole admissions process. It's absolutely fine that a student wants to apply both MD and DO. That's not an issue. But what really will be key is when they apply that they're able to speak to why they've applied to a particular osteopathic medical school, especially in that secondary.
Yeah.
On the primary application in the ACOMAS, absolutely, that's going to be critical to do the big picture, mm-hmm. right? To do the big picture statement. And then on the secondary, then be able to drill down, okay, why osteopathic medicine and why am I applying to NYIT College of Osteopathic Medicine? And then here's another insider tip. When schools have multiple campuses,
yes.
we're also going to want to know why, you know, one
sure.
particular campus over another. So again, it's really important to understand what is the mission of those campuses? What is the mission of that school? And how does that applicant and his or her background and experiences align to that? And so, yes, it's going to be critical at the end of the day that they are able to convey that. So it does align with what we're looking for when we bring that person in for the interview. And then they meet with one of our faculty members. And it's important to note the faculty member could be a DO, an MD, or a PhD.
That's true.
So, yeah, it's really important that they are aware of all of that.
Okay. What can an applicant invited to interview expect on interview day at NYIT? And I don't know if it's the same in Jonesboro or in New York. And if it's not, what are the differences?
Yeah, good question. So New York is going national in terms of its outreach. So we really are making every effort to get our fabulous students from the West Coast, from the Midwest, from the South, you know, all over the country for New York now. And it's a private school. the day will look, right now, it looks like this. The student would come in the morning around 8:30. We start our day by 9 o'clock with an overview, an admissions overview, PowerPoint, short Q&A. And then students will then be assigned to their faculty interviewer. And they'll have breakfast. You know, breakfast will be available for them in the morning. And as some of them are waiting for their interviews, other student administration and our student ambassadors will come, you know, throughout the morning, meet them, chat with them, you know, welcome them. By noon, by 12 noon, our student ambassadors in New York will meet them, and all of our interviewees will have a tour of the campus and have unopposed time to speak with our student ambassadors. And then at the end of the tour, they're free to depart campus, because we know that students are coming from across the country to interview with us, and we really want to be mindful of the cost involved and the travel and all of that. Down in Jonesboro, it's a little bit different. They will have, right now, our interviews are scheduled for Fridays. Students come in the early afternoon by about 11:30, 11:45. The day then starts by noon. They have a formal interview presentation, an admissions presentation. The dean or the associate dean will come in and welcome them. And then they will start taking tours of the facility, Wilson Hall, and student ambassadors will be with them throughout the day. And then they'll have their interview. And then by the late afternoon, the day is done and they're free to depart the campus. So slightly different timing because, you know, students coming from all over the country, you know, need to be able to leave early and not incur an additional cost for hotel and transportation. And then in the southern campus, you know, that's going to be a little different because there's a lot of drive time involved to get to the campus.
Right. Okay. Let's move forward a little bit. What kind of residencies do graduates of NYIT go into?
So the beauty of having a school, again, with 40 years of history and of excellence in all areas of medicine, our students match in all specialty areas of medicine, including the primary care areas. Right now, we've been looking at about 100% match for the last 3 to 4 years. And we're really, really proud of that accomplishment. So that goes to really good counseling and coaching from the administration to our students, and our students doing really well, you know, on their exams and the things that they need to do well in to achieve that 100% match.
And so are they getting into residencies, let's say, in cardiology and neurology and orthopedics and the more difficult to get into residencies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, you name it, our students are there. Even some of the more specialized areas of medicine, our students have had very, very good success with matching with the MD, you know, institutions, as well as with DO-specific institutions.
Okay, great. Now, I know there's a merger coming of the MD and DO residency systems. How do you think that's going to affect DO school graduates?
Well, you know, when I was at the association level a few years ago...
Yeah, I'm sure you were very involved in all this.
Yeah, it was a fascinating time because the president and CEO at AACOM had worked closely with his colleagues at the AAMC and others in the allopathic world. So in my mind, I think it's the best of all worlds, because currently DO students were always able to go into MD residencies. There were absolutely no restrictions there. But MD students who were fascinated by some of the things that DO students learned were not able to come into DO residencies. And so now this totally flips it. So now it's one match. Everybody's equal. Everybody's viewed as a physician or student doctor. There's no more MD versus DO or it's all equal. They're all equal now. I think any pushback would be, honestly, from folks that really don't understand the system or don't understand that MD and DO is so similar, that there's so much overlap that it's not as separate as people would think it would be. And so even on the COMLEX exam that DO students take, it's very similar to the USMLE. And DO students for years have been doing super well on taking the USMLE. So that tells you right off the bat, you know, the curriculums are similar. The only area of distinction is just that 200 hours of the OMT training that students get, and they become these experts in anatomy and physiology. But the exams are very, very similar. And I think the match and what's happening now with the single match is, you know, it's sort of the perfect storm. It's all now coming together. So I think it's a win-win for everybody.
It sounds like it. So the osteopathic medical students also learn the osteopathic manipulative method. They get that. They get that training. Is there mm-hmm. something that MD students study that DO students don't study? There's obviously something that DO students do study that MD students don't study. But is there something in the reverse?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. Can you touch for a moment on the Emigre Physicians Program at NYIT?
Yeah, so this is a fantastic opportunity. We are, in fact, the only U.S. medical school in the nation that offers the Emigre Physician Program. And what this program is all about is if you are a foreign-born, foreign-trained MD, and you're now here in the United States, you have citizenship, and you know you want to go back into medicine and be able to practice in the United States, and you know you don't want to go through all the hurdles otherwise, this is the opportunity for you to apply to us. And if we accept you, you have the beauty of going back to medical school and literally retraining and becoming an osteopathic physician. But here's the beauty. The beauty of the program is so many of the EPPs are excellent at what they do already, right? So they come in and they become these amazing mentors and coaches for the first year medical school students. So it's an incredible win-win all around. And these students have incredible personal stories of what they've overcome. And here they are in the United States and they want to be able to practice medicine. And we fully embrace them and we're really excited to have them. It's 35 students. It's a very, very select group. It's very competitive. We get hundreds of applications.
Wow.
And it is an incredible opportunity for a foreign-born, foreign-trained MD that now wants to come and practice in the United States. It's incredible. We get applications from every single 50 United States.
Wow.
It's amazing.
And do they have to be U.S. permanent residents or do they have to be citizens?
Permanent residents and or citizens, yes.
Got it, mm-hmm. Got it. And how long is the program?
It's 4 years. They are literally doing 4 years in medical school and then following, you know, that, you know, their clerkships, their residency training, et cetera.
Okay. So, but I mean, it's basically like doing medical school. It's just that you
again.
Have, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now,
yeah, I mean, because it's all over, you know, every country has a different way of training. And
yeah.
So to be able to practice in the United States, it's really about being able to practice and meet everything that you need to meet in terms of U.S. practice of medicine.
Got it. Okay. Now let's get very, very concrete. You've given some wonderful perspective and advice as well regarding the primary versus the secondary application. But what advice can you give for applicants preparing to apply to NYITCOM this summer?
Yeah.
Coming
so
close.
Here's my advice. It's really important to be prepared to apply early. The ACOMAS application is going to open up in the first week of May. And medical schools like us are going to start seeing applications by mid-June to late June. Applications will start flowing in. We started interviews this last cycle that we're wrapping up now, August 25th. So interviews are going to start early this year again. So it's just really important to work with an advisor, work with a faculty mentor, really get the application in as early as possible. And think about preparing, you know, you want to have the MCAT, the letters of recommendation, the committee letter, all of those things, the essay reviewed by others, and get that submitted. And then within 10 days of submitting the ACOMAS to NYITCOM, we need the supplemental application. And our supplemental application is going to remain at $80 for the fee. And the student can apply to both campuses, to Old Westbury, New York, and to Jonesboro, Arkansas, on the supplemental.
So they don't have to state a preference, or they have the option of stating a preference?
Right. They can. They have the preference to say either New York, Jonesboro, or both for us.
Okay.
And it's going to be a very short and sweet secondary. This cycle, we had the responses limited to 1,000 character count.
Well, that's pretty short.
So we're going to do that again, because really the feeling of the admissions committee was, you know, at this point, students really should know why they want to apply and be able to do it in such a manner to convey it in a short, sweet way, so that we can move quickly through the applications and get them in early for interviews. And the cycle we saw again, you know, 7,000 plus applications from across the United States.
How many students do you have in a class? How many matriculate?
Yeah, so the class size for New York is 278. And in Jonesboro, we seat a class of 123.
That's a pretty impressive acceptance rate.
It's huge. Yeah, it's huge.
Well under 10%.
And yeah, and it is competitive. You know, the other thing that I think it's really important to point out to the listeners is, think about the geographic region where NYITCOM sits. We sit in New York, and we're competing with, you know, a dozen or so other MD institutions that are, you know, in the top 10, right? Top 20 in the country. And that's the pool that we're competing with. So if people think that there's a huge difference between the academic profiles, not too much with NYITCOM. We're very, very competitive. And so, again, it's so important for students to have that global understanding of why they want to apply to medicine, what do they know about osteopathic medicine, and how does that align to their personal and professional goals, and how can they then sync that up to align with the mission and the goal of both New York's campus and Jonesboro, Arkansas campus. And then the fact that, you know, we move on a rolling admission basis. So the sooner their application is in for us, the sooner we can review and bring them in for the interview and then make that decision for them.
Okay, thank you. Now let's take a different group of applicants or potential applicants. What advice do you have for those thinking about osteopathic medicine as their career, but not planning to apply until, let's say, 2019 or later?
So, you know, many students nowadays have been taking gap years,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing gap years. They want to do some research. They want to teach for America. They want to do Peace Corps, you know, whatever the case is. And that's great. And we're good with that. We see great value in that. We also see great value in students who really are able to identify that they need to do academic enhancements, like post-baccalaureate programs, right? Or go on and get a master's degree. So we value all of those experiences. And again, I think it's so important that the student understand that the way we're looking at that is, okay, how are they looking at themselves personally and professionally? And then what are they doing? What are the steps that they're doing to take to then move to the next level, to wait that year? So what are they doing in that 1 year space of time and energy so that when they do get ready to make that application, that it all makes sense? That it all, again, continues to show a commitment to a career in medicine, a career lifelong learning, a career to human care, right? To the better, to the bigger good, right? And so that's what we're looking at when they take that time off or they pursue academics or other things.
Do you like to see students who've, let's say, shadowed an osteopathic physician or have had specific exposure to osteopathic medicine? Is that important?
Yeah, it's really important that students take the time to really connect with a practitioner. But I would also say sometimes, realistically, it can be a challenge to find an osteopathic physician in their area. So reach out to folks like myself, reach out to admissions, reach out to the association level. Let us help connect you to our alumni. Our alumni are fantastic individuals. And, you know, if they have the time and they're able to, they will absolutely meet with our prospective students to help them with shadowing opportunities. Another thing that I really want to encourage students and prospectives to think about is when we are out on the road at events, at recruitment events, or we have open house events on our campus or events and things like that, come be a part of them. It's the best way to network, to make those connections so that you can find those experiences to shadow. Because Linda, you're right, we're going to be wanting to see that. And we're going to want that in a letter of recommendation. We're going to want that in that student's ability to communicate that on the day of the interview with their faculty member that they're being interviewed by. So there's so many ways of getting that kind of connection to connect with a DO or even a current medical school student to get that exposure. And so whatever we can do, NYITCOM, you know, we're going to help our perspectives and our students that are applying.
Great. Thank you. Gina, I think we're almost out of time. This has been just delightful and fascinating. Thank you so much for joining me today. Where can listeners learn more about NYIT's College of Osteopathic Medicine?
I would absolutely encourage them to look at nyit.edu/medicine, and they'll come to our website and find all things related to admissions and our recruitment schedule and events and opportunities.
Okay. We'll include links in the show notes at exhibit.com/250 to NYITCOM, its innovative curriculum, as well as to other resources that may be helpful to listeners. Listener, thank you too for joining us for this, our 250th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please subscribe. Make sure you don't miss any future shows, be they with deans, admissions directors, professors, current students, test prep pros, or alumni doing great things. And a final reminder to download Accepted's The Quick Guide to Acing Your COMAS Application, which is sponsoring this episode. You can download the free guide, and it is free, at www.accepted.com/AACOMAS. Again, that's accepted.com/COMAS. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.